Good morning, and you're all very welcome here again this morning to our morning service. And as we open God's Word, let's read from 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story of David and Goliath. Verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Demon between Succoth and Azek. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill, and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield-bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight one another." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephraimite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judea. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take an ephah of roasted grain, these 10 loaves of bread to your brothers, and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are doing and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning David left the flock with the shepherd, loaded up, and set out, as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from the lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give a great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should divide the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You just came down to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from this hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. He took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from a stream, and put them in his pouch of a shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly forward to the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with sling and stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took the Philistine's sword and drew it from its scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sharam road from Gath to Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, O king, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, "I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." And we'll finish the reading there at verse 58 of 1 Samuel 17. Let us pray together. Lord, as we open the pages of your word, Lord, pray that you will speak from this story, maybe so familiar to us, and yet a story in which you have so much to say. And Lord, help us as we read it, and now as we think about it together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The account of David and Goliath. God's power in weakness is what I've headed today. And it's one of the most famous and well-known stories in the whole of the Bible. Only a Boy Called David was a Sunday school chorus we used to sing as children. How David, the shepherd lad, took on a veteran soldier called Goliath, and David, against all the odds, was victorious because God was with him. Setting the scene, we have the Philistine army gathered for battle on one hill, and the army of Israel on the opposite hill with a valley in between them. Then we get this description in verses 4 to 7 of the Philistine champion, verse 4, and a hero, verse 51, from the town of Gath, called Goliath. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall and was bristling with armor. helmet, a coat of scaled armor weighing 58 kg, bronze greaves on his legs, that's armor that protects the legs, a bronze javelin, a spear, of which the iron point of the spear alone weighed in at 7 kg, and he also had a shield bearer, presumably carrying a shield. He also had a sword in its sheath, as David used it later in verse 51. This professional soldier was armed to the teeth. He was what you might call a very formidable opponent. He taunted the Israel army morning and evening for 40 days to a one-on-one combat. Whoever wins the fight will be served by the loser's people. The king Saul and all the army of Israel were dismayed and terrified when they heard Goliath's taunts. But then in verse 12, David comes into the story. We are introduced to him by name in the last chapter in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, as he was anointed the next king of Israel by Samuel. He was the youngest of Jesse's sons and was from Bethlehem. This was no ordinary lad, as we are told in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, that on the day he was anointed as future king of Israel by Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Still, although the next future king of Israel, David at this stage was dividing his time between playing the lyre in King Saul's service and tending his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So Jesse sends David to bring food supplies to his three older brothers who were in the army of Israel and bring back news of them. So off he went with the supplies to the Israeli camp, and as he arrived, he got to hear for the first time for himself Goliath's usual taunts and shouting that had been uttered twice daily for the past 40 days. David's very first words as recorded in the Bible are spoken here in 1 Samuel 17:26. The silence is broken. David speaks. He asks the Israelite soldiers two questions. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Up to this point in chapter 17, God hasn't been mentioned, but now here in verse 26, David is concerned about the disgrace of God's people Israel and this man Goliath who defies the armies of the living God. David was confident about how having the living God on your side can and would make a difference. Often in our daily lives we forget that we serve a living God when we face situations that seem too big or too great for us to handle. David knew he had the living God with him as he faced this giant Philistine warrior. Then David is spoken to in anger by his eldest brother Eliab, questioning why he is here and why isn't he back at home minding the few sheep. Trust your family to try and take you down. Eliab says he knows David's motives, his conceited and wicked heart, how he just came to see the battle. Jesus had the same kind of response from his family in Mark 3:21 when they came to take charge of Jesus. They said of him, he is out of his mind. Sometimes it can be those closest to you that discourage you and try and come between you and serving the Lord. David stands up for himself in verse 29. He says, now what have I done? Can't I even speak? Does that sound familiar? David keeps on questioning the soldiers, and it comes to King Saul's attention and he sends for David. When David meets with King Saul, he is very confident and tells him not to lose heart over this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him, verse 32. Saul is very doubtful as he observes that David is just a young lad and Goliath is an experienced fighter. There's a lot riding on this fight, as whoever loses according to the Goliath's threats and taunts will affect a whole nation. The Philistines will rule over Israel if Goliath wins, which is in the eyes of Saul is the most obvious outcome. The odds are highly stacked against the shepherd lad. David goes about convincing Saul from his experiences coming up against wild animals and predators while tending sheep and killing them, attributing his success in these endeavors to the Lord, verse 37, and he is confident that the Lord will also rescue him from the hand of Goliath. Saul is convinced and says, go and the Lord be with you. Israel's future lies with this young lad David. Saul dresses David in a coat of armor and arms him with a sword and a helmet, but David isn't used to these, and even trying to walk around in them is foreign to him. David takes off all the armor and dresses in his normal shepherd attire, armed with just a staff in his hand, five smooth stones from a stream in his shepherd's bag, and a sling, and he goes out to face Goliath. David and Goliath have words as they approach one another. First is the turn of Goliath, with all his armor and weapons and a shield bearer. He surveyed David and he despised this young lad with his healthy and handsome looks. He was insulted that Israel would send someone so puny to fight him. Goliath says, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" He cursed David by his gods, small g. He is fighting on the wrong side, on the side of false gods against the living God. Goliath threatens David, saying, "Come here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals." He had every right to be confident, except he hadn't factored in that God was with David. Then David's reply to the Philistine giant was, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but..." And the next verses are the key verses in today's reading, verses 45 to 47. Several statements David makes when confronting this giant Goliath. David was in no doubt who was with him and who is on his side. "I come," verse 45, "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel." Verse 46, he says, "And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." And verse 47, "It's not by spear or sword that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." David turns around Goliath's threats on him and goes even further to say that it will be the carcasses, not just of Goliath, but of the Philistine army that will be given to be devoured by the birds and the wild animals. How and why? Verse 47 tells us, "The battle is the Lord's, and he will not give just Goliath, but all of you into our hands." In the next four verses, verses 48 to 51, we have the most well-known part of the story of David and Goliath, the fight. It didn't last very long, and it didn't end as was expected by either side. It was a stunning victory, a knockout, you might say, as David's sling and stone, he only needed one of the five stones, and with the Lord on his side, hit its target, the Philistine's forehead, and Goliath was killed, falling face down on the ground. Then, as David had said in verse 46, as he spoke to Goliath, "I'll strike you down and cut off your head," which is exactly what he did. Having hit him with the stone and killed him, in verse 51, David used Goliath's own sword to cut off the giant Philistine's head. We can see from this account how God can use weakness. Earlier in this chapter, we know people looking down on David. His oldest brother, Eliab, dismissing him and sneering at him. King Saul saying he is a young and inexperienced. And Goliath telling him that he is puny, facing this fully armed to the teeth warrior with mere sticks. But they hadn't factored in the fact that the living God was with David. His weapons were not human weapons of war, but having the living God with him. How many times throughout the Bible do we see God working through weakness? Many people throughout the Bible who are weak and insignificant, but God used them. Like an obscure person called Abraham from Ur, who became father of many nations. Like the runaway Moses, who led God's people out of slavery in Egypt. Like Gideon from the least of the tribes of Israel and the many battles he led and won. Like Mary, the mother of Jesus. Like the fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James and John. And how God used all these people just like he worked in and through the life of David. He also worked in and through the lives of these people and many more examples in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 tells us that God's grace is sufficient for you, for his power is made perfect in weakness. We can all feel insignificant in God's sight. We can feel that we have little to offer God. We can feel spiritually weak as well as physically weak. God's word tells us that God uses weak people to fulfill his purposes and plans. Our weaknesses provide opportunities for God's great power to work. 1 Corinthians 12:10, Paul tells us, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Ministering for the Lord in our weakness, with his power, not depending on our own strength. Just ordinary people serving an extraordinary God. Back to our story of David as we wrap up. When the Philistines saw their hero Goliath was dead, they turned and fled in verse 51, and the army of Israel pursued them, leaving dead Philistines along the roadside. And when they returned, they plundered the Philistine camp. The Philistines had been well and truly defeated. David brought back Goliath's head to Jerusalem, and he put Goliath's weapons in his own tent. When Saul observed David was going out to fight Goliath, he asked his army commander Abner, "Whose son is that young man?" In verse 55. Abner didn't know, and Saul instructs Abner to find out. After the battle, Abner brought David to Saul, with David still in possession of Goliath's head. Saul asked David, "Who is his father?" And David informs him that he is the son of Jesse of Bethlehem, in verse 58. Jesse's household would be rewarded by being exempt from taxes in Israel from that time on, as was promised by King Saul. And we will see next week if David gets to marry one of King Saul's daughters, as John Mark brings us through the next two chapters, chapter 18 and 19. As we finish up today, we see David becoming Israel's champion, a person who was deeply concerned about God's honor and the future of God's people Israel. As David walked out to do battle with Goliath, the future of God's people Israel was in the balance. In the same way, David is a type of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus went to the cross, he was our champion. He mapped out our future by opening up the way to peace with God. He came in weakness as a little baby all those years ago to bear the punishment for all who believe and trust in him. We deserve judgment and death because of our rebellion and sin, and he paid the price taking on God's wrath for us on the cross of Calvary. Like David, the Lord Jesus was chosen to fight the giant, and in this case the giant was the judgment for our rebellion and sin. Jesus paid the price for us. Like David of old, the Lord Jesus had won the victory over sin and death on our behalf. The army of Israel could just watch from the sidelines as the young lad David faced up to fight the giant Goliath. They were powerless. If David lost the fight, they would become subject to the Philistines. David's victory over Goliath by the power of the living God meant freedom for the children of Israel. We are in the same boat. We were powerless and couldn't do anything but watch and see what the Lord did for us on the cross. His victory over sin and death means freedom for all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Savior, bore the wrath for all the wrong we have done. I trust that each one of you here today have peace with God, that you have put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is your Savior. He loves you so much that he died for us. That's how we know love. That song we sang earlier, and the chorus says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life. God's very own Son came from heaven to die. Suspended he hung as he shed his own blood. What grace in his pardon. By this we know love." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that David stood up to this Goliath, this giant. He stood up so that the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And Lord, help us as we stand for you. Help us to be like David, standing up for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we thank you that you went to the cross and you paid the price for our sins so that we might have peace with God, that we might have a relationship with you. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.